Thank you, Roger. What a joy it is to be here with you today. I feel like I'm among friends and back with family. It's just great to see your faces. You look so familiar, so many of you in the same spots where I left you just a short time ago. And I just want to say a personal word of appreciation for your pastor. This was kind of our agreement when he agreed to teach the class for us this past week. And I knew that he had another week of teaching coming this week. I said, well, Pastor Chuck, I said, if it'll help you, I said, then I will come and fill in that in-between time. And he said, oh, yes, that would be great. So I know he's had a full week of teaching. He's got another full week of teaching ahead of him. And already I've heard great reports about the class and about the things that the students learned there. One of the best things about having what I will say now, Dr. Newkirk teaching for us is that he brings some of his own students. You know, his brother came from Oklahoma, and another gentleman on their staff came from Oklahoma, and I think two young men from this church that are prospective students for the seminary. So what a blessing it was to have Chuck teaching for us. It's just a great thing. And did not God do a great thing by sending Pastor Chuck Newkirk and Jill? Did he not? Is that awesome? I take no credit, but I am so thankful and grateful to God for the way that he led that search committee and the way he led you as a church family, the way he led Chuck and Jill and their family. What a joy to see how God is working here and is working in their lives. It's really just glory be to God for that. Well, many of you have been so kind to ask how we're doing, how things are going for us, and some of you are aware that this past year our son was killed in Mozambique, serving as a missionary for the National Mission Board. I believe that before I left here, that Jeremiah had left on his first mission trip to Mozambique. He came back with a strong call from God to go back to that place. And while he was there serving as a hands-on missionary, he died on April the 12th of this year. This coming week is a difficult week for us, because on January the 15th of last year, we said goodbye to Jeremiah for the very last time. We were able to talk with him by Skype and by phone, of course, but it was the last time I hugged his neck. So on Saturday will be a tough day for us. And after Saturday, we will have no more memories of him with us, which is going to be a tough time. So people ask, well, how are you doing? And, you know, there's a thousand thoughts that go through my mind whenever that question is asked. The first thought is, do I really tell them how we're doing? How can I explain that? It's really impossible to begin to express all the things that have transpired. But I smile and I say, we're okay. But there's a lot that goes behind we're okay. And the only reason that I can say we're okay is because of the grace of God. God has showered us with His grace this past year. And I wanted to share with you some of the ways that God has sustained us this past year. And I hope that this will be an encouraging word for you, not just a word of testimony from me, but a word of encouragement to you. And I pray that God will use this to speak to your heart. One of my wife's most difficult times is at night, when the house is quiet, and she is laying in bed and she's thinking about things, and her mind will go back to Jeremiah and what's happened to us. And that's a difficult moment for her. But in those moments, she remembers the scripture that says that God gives us new mercies every morning. And that passage in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 through 24, has become an anchor for us this past year. And so I want to share some things with you from this passage of God's Word, Lamentations 3, 22 through 24. For the prophet Jeremiah was writing to a group of people who had suffered much and had great losses. They had suffered what is really the judgment of God on them, with the Babylonians coming to conquer them and wiping out everything that they knew. They had lost their home, their city. They had lost their children. Their losses had been great. And while we understand that what has happened to us and what happened to our son in Mozambique was not an act of judgment or some kind of punishment from God, we do understand that what Jeremiah wrote to these people centuries ago still speak to us just as powerfully today. And I pray that they will speak as powerfully to you this morning as well. Lamentations 3, verses 22 through 24. If you would, can we stand as we read God's Word together? I'm going to be reading this passage from the English Standard Version. It's a fairly new translation that I've been reading lately, and I really have come to enjoy it. So I'll be reading from that translation. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in Him. Lord, speak to us from this portion of your word, even as you spoke to the people in Jeremiah's day, centuries ago. And I pray that your Spirit would give us comfort and encouragement. And Lord, help us today to hear a word from you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The book of Lamentations is actually a very interesting book. It's one of those books that if you're reading through the Bible this year, you might be tempted just to skip over. Because it's not a pleasant book to read. But yet it's a poem that was written by the prophet Jeremiah, most believe, because of the similarity with the book that bears his name. And each one of the five chapters is actually a stanza in this poem that he writes. And each one of those stanzas have something in common. They're written in acrostic style, which means every one of the first lines begins with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet following alphabetical order. That's why every one of the chapters, and you can check me on this, has 22 verses until you come to chapter 3. And in chapter 3, the pattern is repeated three times. Chapter 3 has 66 verses. And chapter 3 not only marks a difference in the way that it is written, but also marks a difference in the tone. Because up to this point, Jeremiah has been describing the devastation that has happened in Jerusalem. All of God's judgment and wrath has come upon them, and now they have lost everything. They lost their city, they lost their homes, many of them lost their children. Their brightest and best leaders have been carried off to Babylon. But in spite of those losses, Jeremiah wants to remind them that God still loves them. And when he does that, he speaks a word of hope for all of us who have had great losses. I think about this word today, and I think about the people in Tucson who lost loved ones yesterday. Shooting was so devastating. It has devastated that entire city. And I would encourage you to pray for them. Pray for that city and pray that God will bring beauty out of these ashes, will bring triumph out of this tragedy, will bring something good that will be eternal and of eternal value. But these words from Jeremiah speak to us today and to all of those who have suffered great loss or tragedy. And he tells us about these new mercies. Mercies that are new every morning. Well, I want to share with you how we have experienced these new mercies and what this passage has meant to us during this past year. And the first one is we have experienced God's love. While the English Standard Version says the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, if you were reading the New International Version, it might say something like this: because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. Now, that sounds very different. And in fact, it is a very different take on this particular phrase. If you are reading the New International Version, what they're translating is trying to get across to us is this: that it's only because of God's great love for the people of Israel in Jeremiah's day that they weren't completely wiped out, that they weren't consumed, that there were still some left to be able to experience what was going on there at that time. It was because of God's great love that he had left a remnant. That remnant will become important later. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. It's only because God loves us that we weren't completely wiped out. Because Jeremiah was speaking to people who might have been tempted to think, because of what had happened to them, God didn't love them anymore. That he had forgotten about them. That somehow God had turned his face. And Jeremiah is saying, nothing could be further from the truth. It's only because of God's great love that we're not consumed. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. And my wife and I read these words, and we think about that NIV translation. We think it's only because of God's great love that we haven't been consumed by our grief. I mean, completely wiped out and rendered utterly useless by the grief that we've suffered. But God's grace and His love has met us every step of the way and has allowed us and enabled us to be able to carry on with life victoriously and to be able to tell people about how Jesus Christ has sustained us in the midst of it. It's become a point of witness. When I read these words, I'm reminded of the words of the Apostle Paul over in Romans chapter 8. And this is what he says. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul gives us a laundry list of things that could potentially make us think that God has stopped loving us, or that maybe we're too far separated from His love. But in all of those things and in anything else that you can imagine, and we could even add to that list now, even the loss of a son, nothing can separate us from God's love. God demonstrated His love for us when Jesus came and died on the cross. It was once and for all. It was His final statement to us to say, I love you. I love you so much I'm willing to give my own son so that you might have forgiveness of sins and eternal life. That expression of love will never change. And God has expressed His love to us this past year in many ways. This drum that I have up here at the front is really a symbol of God's love for us. And I want to tell you why. Well, that's not going to stay there, so I'll just have to pick it up. This drum was given to us in a small village called Imperuni. This drum is actually very ornately decorated. The missionary there, who's been there for almost 20 years, said he has never seen a drum decorated like this. It says, in memory of Jeremiah on the front, and on the back, it says, it has the initials for their church, Igreja Bautista Imperuni, which is a village in Africa. While we were in Africa, we had the opportunity to go to about 8 different villages, some of which had churches, some of which had no church and no believers, prior to the time that my son and his Mozambican pastor partner went there to share the gospel. But in every place we went, without fail, we sat down and they would tell us their story. They told the story of how Jeremiah had come to that village. They told the story of people he talked to, homes that he visited. In every one of those villages, they shared such profound appreciation to us for our coming and for Jeremiah's coming. It was overwhelming to us. And in all of those villages, they came and presented us with gifts. Gifts out of their own poverty. You know, here, when someone dies, they usually bring food to the house, like a chicken casserole or maybe even fried chicken. There, they just brought us the chicken. And they would come and present the chicken to us. And then they would bring us a bag of rice, or they would bring us a bowl of mangoes, or they would bring us young coconuts. In every one of those places, those were gifts out of their poverty. I knew that what they were giving us would probably feed their family for a week. This wasn't just something that was extra or superfluous that they gave to us. It was a sacrifice. We were overwhelmed with their love. They shared that love with us in such profound ways. And in one of those places, this place where they gave us this drum, ornately decorated, they presented to us a letter of appreciation for Jeremiah and for what he did there. And I had the letter translated so I could read it to you. It says, we send a letter of welcome to the family of our brother Jeremiah. It is with great honor that we receive this visit from the parents of Jeremiah David. The believers of Imperuni Church come by means of this letter to thank God for having allowed us to meet you. In the month of March, Imperuni Church received the sower of God's word, Jeremiah David, as a child of this house. No one was estranged by his presence, even though he did not speak Portuguese well. Instead, he created great emotion in all the believers present that day, fathers, mothers, youth, and children. Jeremiah David offered himself to speak the word of God with all of his strength. In every place across the vast province of Zambezia, even through the difficulties of travel, he made a great effort to meet with us in Imperuni. When Jeremiah arrived in this province, he became a missionary to youth. He was very effective in the ministry of sports evangelism. For this reason, at the end of his visit to us, he offered to play a game. The game was very enjoyable. He showed no difference from us because in Christ we have no differences. He promised one more visit to this church. At 4 p.m. on the 12th of April, we received the news of the physical disappearance of the sower. No one could believe it. The news brought terrible sorrow to the Christian community. The Baptist youth worldwide suffer the loss of the sower of God's word. The youth of this church accompanied our brother Jeremiah to the airport for one last goodbye. But we said it with the promise to find him again in spirit in the kingdom of God. This is the hope of the Christian. We know and await the hope we have as Christians. This hope is found in the Johnson family and in us. This statement was so meaningful to us. But it's really an example of what we experienced, of the love of God. It was poured out to us among this part of God's family halfway around the world. But we experienced it here as well. There were over 1,000 people that came to the memorial service for our son. Many of you were there. I'm still discovering people who were there that I had no idea. What a blessing. God just showered us with His love. And that's just some of the examples. I could go on and on telling you about how God has shown His love to us in this past year. It's been overwhelming. And He has reminded us, no, He hasn't stopped loving us. Nothing can separate us from His love. God's love is His new mercies to us. Now, some of you may know someone, or maybe you yourself are going through some difficult times. Do you know God may use you to touch the life of another person? He may use you to be a vessel to remind someone of God's fresh love for them today. So I want to encourage you. Find ways to share God's love like these have shared God's love with us. Find ways that you can be a conduit of God's love and as He expresses it to other people. You may be one of His instruments today. A second one of these mercies that we find in this passage that we've experienced this year is God's faithfulness. This passage of Scripture says, "Great is your faithfulness." I can only imagine that in Jeremiah's day, as they had experienced this devastating event, they may have been tempted to think, whatever happened to God's promise? Why aren't we His covenant people? Didn't He promise to bless all nations of the earth through Abraham and through his seed? Whatever happened to God's covenant with us? And yet, Jeremiah is reminding them, God is still faithful. He hasn't abandoned them. He hasn't forgotten about them. He's not through with them. Great is His faithfulness. He's faithful to His promises, faithful to His word, faithful to provide for them. In fact, God's purpose was being accomplished in and through them, even through that tragedy. Now, God had promised back in Deuteronomy, I will never leave you or forsake you. That same promise is repeated over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. I will never leave you or forsake you. Some people have wondered, what happened on that road in Mozambique? Did God forget about your son? Did He forsake your son? No. He was with Jeremiah the moment that he died just as much as He was every moment of his life. He didn't forsake or abandon our son on that road in Mozambique. He was right there with him just as He was and is with us. He's faithful to us. So what did happen on that road in Mozambique? Well, I'll never understand exactly why that event took place. But I have another promise from God, a promise that I hold on to. Promise from Romans chapter 8, verse 28. It says that we know that all things work together for good to those that love Him and are called according to His purpose. His purpose for us is to mold us and to make us in the image of Jesus Christ. And ultimately, His purpose for us is to bring Him glory and honor. And while I'll never understand fully the purpose that God had for this event, this side of heaven, I can see glimpses of God's purpose. I can see the way that God is working out His plan even through this tragedy. Some of you have read the story about how we went to Mozambique this past summer. And while we were there, we went to a small village called Sopinho. Sopinho is a village occupied by the Monegan tribe. And the Monegan is a people group that are unreached with the gospel. Our son's assignment when he went to Mozambique was to create a bridge so that the Monegan people might be able to hear the gospel message. That's why he was there. And so he and his Mozambican partner traveled to this village. And together they began to work on this village. The first day that they arrived there, my son broke out his soccer ball, began to play soccer in the middle of this village with the people that were gathered there. And Sobrinho, his Mozambican pastor and partner that I think is pictured right there by the motorcycle, began to pass out gospel tracts. And then he sat down. And after Sobrinho sat down, he was waiting for the soccer game to end. A Muslim man came over to him and he said, would you stand up, please? And Sobrinho said, okay. He stood up and the man took his chair and put it out in the sun. And he said, that chair is for you. Leave now. He was inviting him to leave because he did not know, did not want what Sobrinho had come to bring. But about that time, another Muslim man came over to Sobrinho and he said, why have you come to our village? Sobrinho said, we have come here to share the word of God with you. He said, then would you come to my home and share the word of God? So he and two other Muslim men went with my son and Sobrinho to this small home. And there they presented the gospel. And that man who invited them to his home, Adriano, became a believer that day. The first believer in that village. The moment he heard the gospel message, his heart was moved and he became a believer in Jesus Christ. The next week they went back. And there was another young man. His name was Americano. And you'll see on the next slide a picture of me baptizing Americano. A strapping, strong, athletic young man who was attracted to my son because he was also strong and athletic. He became a believer that day. The next week there were four. The next week there were eight. The next week there were 11. And that was the day that my son was killed, coming back from that village called Sopinho. But the missionary and the Mozambican pastor, Sobrinho, continued to go out to Sopinho. They came out to share the gospel. They went out to baptize or to disciple these new believers. And by the time we arrived there, the first Sunday of August, there were 17 new believers that were ready to be baptized. And they had waited for our arrival. We marched in procession from Adriano's house, where the believers are still meeting, down through the village, singing songs about Jesus, down to the water, where it was a very public event. This is not behind closed doors somewhere. This is while their Monegan fishermen neighbors are going by in boats and they're cleaning their nets. A public profession of their commitment to Christ. A courageous and beautiful thing. And that's just the beginning. Since we have come back, we've heard of many more that have come to know Christ. And one of the things that has happened because of the memorial fund that was given in memory of our son is we've been able to provide for them some help with transportation. So we have purchased bicycles and motorcycles that are now going all over the province of Zambezia to reach new villages in the Monegan tribe, also to reach Lolo and Sena and Lamwe and Shona, all of those speaking tribes, many of whom have never heard the gospel. And I don't know how much of this would have happened had our son not died. But I can tell you that God is using his life and his death and what Jeremiah went to do to inspire them and encourage them, to push them forward in sharing the gospel, and it continues. In March of this year, March the 11th through the 25th, I will return again to Mozambique. And my pastor and I, Pastor Charles Lord, will be training new church planters and evangelists so that they can multiply their efforts to continue to reach these unreached people groups. I may never know the answer to why this happened, but I do know what God is doing. He's doing a great thing, and we want to be a part of that. The last aspect of these new mercies I want to share with you this morning is simply his hope. His hope. At the end of this passage, or at least in verse 24, it says this, "The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in Him." I want to just share a few things about this verse. When it says, "The Lord is my portion," it doesn't mean that the Lord is just a part of the pie that you get that day. It doesn't just mean He's a piece of something. Like we would say, we get a portion for our lunch today. Now, when it says the Lord is my portion, it means He's all you have. In the Old Testament, when the tribes began to occupy the land, and in Joshua, when it's divided up, it says that there was no allotment given to the tribe of Levi, because they were the priestly tribe, because it says the Lord is their portion. They didn't have any land because God was all they received. And because God was all they received, they owned all the land. They could go anywhere because God owned all of it. The Lord was all they received. When you come to Psalm 73 and you hear Asaph say that the Lord is my portion and the strength of my life, you realize that what Asaph is doing, he's saying that he hasn't been blessed like some of the people around him. He doesn't have all the things that they have. And he wonders sometimes why that's so. But now he's come to realize that God is his portion. And God is all he needs. He's the strength of his life. So when Jeremiah says this to these people, what he's saying is, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. I've lost everything else. I don't have anything else. But because I have Him, I will hope in Him. I will trust in Him. I will cling to Him. Because Jeremiah is saying to us, when God is all you have left, you'll discover He's all you need. So when you don't have answers and you don't understand and you can't put together what God is doing, you hold on to Him and He is faithful. I will hope in Him. I will trust in Him. It's the same word that Isaiah uses in Isaiah 40:31, where he says, those that hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will walk and not be weary. They will run and not faint. We can hope in Him. We can trust in Him. We may not ever understand the things that happen to us, but we have a God that we can trust through it all. We were about an hour late going through Johannesburg because of some plane problems that we had had. And when we got to Johannesburg, we knew that we would probably miss our flight that would go to Maputo, and then we would probably miss the flight that went to Kilimani, and it would mean a significant delay. So we were quite concerned about that. So when we got to Johannesburg, we went immediately to the counter for Mozambican Airlines, and we explained to them what had happened. And they said, the young man at the counter said, well, yes, sure enough, you've missed the flight. He says, there's another flight that leaves in an hour, and I think if I can get you on that flight, that you will be able to make your flight to Kilimani tonight. So, oh, that would be wonderful. So he began to work on things. And he made phone calls. We gave him our little boarding passes and the numbers that we had. And he began to make phone calls to make arrangements. And we noticed that when he would talk to someone, he would say, God bless you. Or thank you. To one person, he even said, I'm praying for you. So finally I said, excuse me, are you a believer? He said, yes, I'm a Christian. I said, well, so are we. He introduced himself. His name was Michael. Shook our hands. And then he gave us our boarding passes. He said, I got you on this flight. He said, now what you have to do is you have to go down to baggage claim, pick up your bags, go back through customs, go to the counter and check the bags in, and then meet down at the gate. We said, we can do that. We said, thank you, Michael. You've been such a great help to us. So we went through all of that. Took us about 45 minutes or so. We went down to the gate, and there the agent of the gate, it's Michael again. Well, Mozambique Airlines doesn't have a whole lot of employees in Johannesburg. And by the way, the initials for Mozambique Airlines is LAM, which I came to understand later. The missionaries all call it late and maybe, which turned out to be true even that day. But I wanted to say thank you to Michael, so I went over to the counter, and Charles Lord and I, my pastor and I, we were traveling together, and he said, I said, Michael, we just want to say thank you for all you did to help us. Everything's ready to get on this plane. And I said, Michael, is there anything we can do to make sure that we can make the connection once we get to Maputo to go to Kilimani? And he said, no. He says, I've already alerted them. They know you're coming. And he says, if the plane is on time, which it wasn't, they're going to hold the plane for you. I said, that'd be great. I said, Michael, is there anything else we can do? He said, just pray. I said, well, Michael, I said, we can do that. I said, we're both pastors. A pastor, he said. I have a gift for you. A gift. Awesome. So he took a piece of paper and he tore off the corner. And on one side of the piece of paper, he wrote 1 Corinthians 10:13. And on the other side of the paper, he wrote Psalm 30, verse 11. He gave it to me. And I looked at this piece of paper and I said, Michael, I know 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. God is faithful, will not allow you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation provide a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. He said, yes. I said, but Michael, I'm not familiar with Psalm 30, verse 11. What does that say? He looked at me right in the eye and he said, I will turn your sorrow into dancing and your grief into joy. Michael knew nothing about why we were coming to Africa. Didn't know what had happened to us. Didn't know that we had lost our son. It was one of those moments in my life where I realized I had just received a direct word from God. A direct word. And in the next 8 days, as I went to those villages, one after the other, and I watched those beautiful African believers worship and praise God, and yes, even dance, tears rolled down my cheeks as I reflected on the goodness of God. That even though we don't understand, and even though things are so hard for us and tragic sometimes, that God has given us new mercies, His love, His faithfulness, His hope, and nothing can take that away from us. Nothing can change that. I hope that's yours today. And I hope that you have an assurance today of God's love in your own life because you've come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I pray that today, that no matter what circumstances you're going through or whatever is happening in your life or the life of someone you love, that this word will be a word of encouragement to you as it has been to us. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for the way that you have spoken to us, the way that you have sustained us by your grace. Lord, for your faithfulness to us, your love for us, and the hope that you give us by trusting in you. Lord, I pray that every person that's here today might reach out to you even in these moments, might experience that same grace that we have, and Lord, might be encouraged as a result of it. Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know Jesus Christ, I pray that in these moments they would be reminded that you came to die on the cross for our sins because of your great love for us, and you have made it possible for us to be forgiven and to have eternal life. And that gospel message, which you came to die on the cross to give to us, is worth us giving our lives to you and for you. Lord, I thank you. Thank you for the way your Holy Spirit speaks to us and works in our hearts. And we pray we would respond in these moments. In Jesus' name, amen.